Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are excited to welcome our next guest, Jay Barker, who is a former Alabama quarterback himself, won a national championship in the early 90s, went on to be an All-American, was fifth in the Heisman voting his senior year, and is now in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. He's also a radio host across the state of Alabama. And Jay, I know you were there in Miami on Monday night. There wasn't a full capacity crowd, but there were a few fans in attendance for this national championship. What was it like being there for this game under the current circumstances?
Yeah, it was crazy because I looked at Sarah at one point in time, my wife, and said, man, it's like we're at a game and it's a blowout and everybody's left. And it was a blowout. It was 52-24, about 28 points there in the fourth quarter. But it was different. I mean, I think, you know, everybody said, gosh, we're just blessed to be here, be a part of this, and to get the championship game underway and to go through a season like 2020 with COVID and all the mitigations that were going on and just everybody trying to work around it. I mean, kudos to all the, you know, the doctors, the trainers, everybody at Alabama that really helped them get to this point to where they could play for a national title and win number 18 for Alabama. So it was fun to be there, be a part of it. And I think all the fans were appreciative that were there to be a part of it, as well as the ones at home that were still rooting as hard as they could and wish they could be there. But I hated it more, Amy, I think, for the media, the guys that had covered pretty much every championship for the last 20 or 30 years that didn't get media credentials, or fans that have attended, like, you know, so many Alabama games over, you know, decades and been in all these championships, weren't able to be there. So I felt for them in a big way. But it was a great night for Alabama. Nick Saban getting number 7, surpassing Coach Bryant's number 6. So a lot of great things to celebrate.
How much noise did the fans generate? Because on TV, we're not really sure how much is pumped in and how much is authentic.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of it was pumped in, even, you know, through the stadium. But it was good. I mean, Alabama fans would get up, you know, at times when they needed to. Ohio State fans, definitely outnumbered Alabama fans there. And they were loud when they needed to be. But a lot of them got very quiet very quickly as Alabama's offense continued to go up and down the field and score points kind of at will. I mean, really, without that turnover that they had with the fumble, when Mack was being chased around and got sacked and fumbled the ball, I think really that was probably the only time that they had a chance to really stop them in the game. This offense has just been really unbelievable throughout the year. The numbers they put up, the players, the character they've showed, and Sark did a tremendous job the time he spent at Alabama. So I've got a son that's there. It's in that quarterback room every day with all those guys. And, he told me back in the summer, so we have a very special team, not just from a talent standpoint, which is pretty much every year for Saban, but really a closeness, a unity. And they really came together this year in a way that he had not seen in a long time and had not seen at Alabama since he had gotten there. I mean, there was a lot of great players, a lot of great, you know, team stuff and unity, but nothing like this year. And I think that's what carried them through a perfect season.
How does it compare being a quarterback for Alabama and winning a national championship and watching your son do the same thing? What are those emotions like?
It was great. I mean, you know, like he didn't play, so I wouldn't. I mean, if he didn't play, I'd have been a wreck. I'd have been nervous as could be. I always tell people, I've got a quarterback at Alabama. I got a freshman quarterback at UAB. I've got a freshman, they're twins, freshman daughter that is at Georgia playing basketball. Actually going over to Knoxville tomorrow to watch her play Tennessee, and just so proud of all of them and, you know, all of our kids. We have Sarah and I have 7 together, so we stay very busy. So this weekend, a little getaway for us to go down to Miami, and we got there a few days earlier to be able to be together and be a part of this. But to see him on the sideline, to talk to him afterwards, hug his neck and congratulate him, and, you know, a big smile on his face, and He's now going to have a national championship ring like his dad.
Jay Barker played at the University of Alabama. He was a quarterback for the 92 national championship team, and he joins us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I'd love to hear from your perspective as a QB. What makes DeVonta Smith special? What's the best part about his game?
His work ethic. Number one, he is a tremendous worker. I remember when Braxton first, that's my son, the quarterback at Alabama, got to Alabama, he said, you know, these receivers, they're all phenomenal. He said, but this one guy, DeVonta Smith, number six, he goes, Dad, he's going to be special. I mean, he works harder than anybody. He's a tremendous leader. And at that time, I think DeVonta was a sophomore and, just really a guy that works at his skills, at his craft, and really wants to be the very best every single day in practice. So, no surprise there. And as a quarterback, you love those guys to get out there and work, to push the other guys to be better. That's a great leader, not just as far as his performance and Heisman Trophy winner, but really a leader in the locker room and on the field and keeping those guys being competitive all throughout the game. But it's just, he's got great hands. Number one, works at that daily. He is a great route runner and really has, as he's talked about, because of the new strength and conditioning coaches that are there, has really increased his burst, his speed. And we saw that this year. I mean, he just ran by guys. even in the national championship game, some of the guys taking really bad angles on him and not realizing, because he's just so smooth in his approach. He just doesn't look like he's running as fast as he is. But the guy's just a tremendous player. He's going to have a great NFL career.
So it doesn't matter then at the next level that he is what he calls undersized. When he gave his Heisman speech, he talked about guys who are a little smaller, maybe not quite as strong, but that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to a degree when he gets and understands the speed of the game, how he's got to get off the line of scrimmage and bump coverage, man-to-man. And, and all of us know this, when you leave college, just like you leave high school, you're going to gain weight because of age, because of the workouts, and he's going to get bigger. and hopefully, won't lose any of that speed and quickness he's got off the line of scrimmage. But, he's such a fighter, and he's always – talked about being undersized all the way through since Little League, middle school, high school, and even in college. But, he gets it done and just had an amazing year. Maybe, probably the best year that a receiver's had in Alabama history. And this offense and what Mac Jones and all those guys did, I mean, just an amazing 2020 season, a national championship, but a lot of recognition at the end. And I don't know if there's a more decorated team, especially on one side of the ball offensively, than Alabama was after the season, just all the awards that they won, and so much deserving for those guys. A lot of hard work put into it. Like we talked about earlier, a lot of circumstance with COVID-19 that they had to work through, but they got it done, and they won a championship. It's going to be fun to watch a lot of these guys in the next level.
Well, I'm glad you say that, because Mac Jones obviously elevated his draft stock, regardless of what happens in the spring. Having that performance on that stage catches a lot of eyes, and he was part of the Heisman, too. So what are the parts of his game that you think will make him successful in the NFL?
Well, he's just a smart guy, number one. I think he's got 2 degrees already. And, he's graduated early, got a second degree before he left. And I think the biggest thing about Mac Jones, I think, will impress a lot of the scouts is, off the field, his study habits, what he does to prepare, and also because he stuck around. In today's time, you can transfer out if you're not getting game playing time, and everybody's trying to find that next fit for them. And he didn't. He stuck around and competed against Jalen Hurts and Tua, and really, I think through that became a better quarterback, and because of that, had the season that he had. He went off and got some individual training during that time when they really couldn't do a lot at school, and just kept working at it. And he's always been able to spin the football, but I think his biggest attribute is his decision making. He's quick through his reads, makes great decisions, and he'll check it down if he needs to. He's not going to force balls down the field, and I think NFL teams, coaches, scouts, they all look at that and see that as a very positive thing for a guy like him, that if he was to be their quarterback, that they know he's going to put the work in, he's going to study, and he's going to make good decisions on the field.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Monday's game against Ohio State turned into a blowout. Enjoyable for Tide fans, of course, all over the country. One of those who was at the game, not only as a former Alabama quarterback himself, but also the proud papa of a quarterback who's on the team now. Jay Barker is spending a few minutes with us from Birmingham. So, Jay, we had this great debate on our show about whether or not it's more difficult or easier? I know those are simplistic terms, but more challenging or easier to win a national championship in the midst of a pandemic for all the various reasons. What do you think?
It's more challenging for those who don't have, I think, the mindset of a Nick Saban or a coaching staff that can really handle everything that's going to go through, you're going to go through during that season. How do you adjust? And that's one thing we talked about back in June and July on our radio show is that, and I've got Antonio Langham and Trent Richardson, Lars Anderson, who you've interviewed 20 plus years in Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report, and Athletic. You know, all those guys have been around and have played the game, have been first round draft picks in the NFL. And, you know, the whole thing was Nick Saban will be able to mitigate this better than anybody. Mm. That's going to give us an edge for 2020. And, you know, but what they accomplished by winning 10 SEC games, nobody's done that in a long time, at least, playing all conference. SEC, you know, if not the toughest, one of the toughest leagues in college football. And then to go on and play in the championship game, a playoff game, and then finally win the national championship. So they came into that game 12-0. Ohio State came in 7-0, and a lot of people didn't like that. They felt like that, you know, they didn't have the wear and tear. They weren't beat up. But, you know, we looked at it from the other side, is that this team really grew up a lot as the year went on, especially on that defense side of the ball. It probably needed those 12 games to get ready for the national championship game and to play a team like Ohio State. I thought just watching them, how they handled Clemson, but even throughout the year, that they deserved to be in that Final Four. It wasn't their fault that they weren't playing. It was their league and what they decided was best for their teams. And when they had a chance to play, they played and they won and they got to the championship game. So, you know, look, Alabama won big and I'm glad they did, but you know, I still think that was the four best teams. I probably would have personally not put Notre Dame in, probably would have put Texas A&M in just because I think they played a tougher schedule. But Notre Dame is a big time brand. And I think the world of Brian Kelly, met him a while back and just such a great guy and was so good to my family. And that's been years ago when he was nowhere near Notre Dame at that time. But it's been a crazy year, Amy, and I agree with you. I mean, the coaches that can mitigate that and had the people around them to help them do that are the ones that were successful this year.
We heard a lot about the players' mental health, being away from their families, and I'm not sure how often you got to see your son, but having to go through the various stretches where they were isolated or maybe even had to take the steps where they weren't part of what was happening on campus, any type of activities, if there were any, the constant testing, everything else that they had to navigate. So I ask you this, as someone who, you know, is connected personally, but also someone who played, why was it worth it to go through this season with everything that happened? Why would it be worth it?
Yeah, I think for the players, I mean, they put so much work into it, and a lot of guys that want to get to the next level, and they see this as something that they want to continue to pursue. And, you know, the biggest thing is, I think, just for them, again, competing. This is what they do. This is what they love. And it was tough. I mean, you know, you couldn't go to certain events, or you couldn't, you know, it weren't the normal kind of family get-together. I mean, we did the banquet online. It was a virtual banquet. Normally,
wow.
You know, the parents are together, and you're seeing your kids go up there and, you know, getting awards. And but they really did a good job handling that. And it is, you know, I thought the other postseason awards did a great job virtually trying to involve as many of the parents and people close to the players as well as their teammates. So, you know, that's one of the things you just kind of had to adjust. I'll be honest, my twins at UAB in Georgia, my daughter plays basketball at Georgia, my son's a quarterback at UAB, and it's probably tougher for them because they were expecting college life, right? You know,
right.
We're going to be able to hang out with our friends and, you know, people even that we don't play sports with, that we can go hang out and have, you know, different events and things that you do on, you know, college campus as a college student, and they didn't get that. And, you know, they were, you know, isolated at times, and, you know, nothing that I had to go through as a player, and nothing that, you know, my older son had to go through until this year. So he was a little bit more adapted to it. And, you know, again, it's been a crazy year, but they got through it. And hopefully we'll see the same for March Madness.
So I have some friends that have come through Alabama. I actually have a young woman that I mentor who just graduated from Tuscaloosa in the last few months. And they try to tell me that no one understands what it's like to be a fan of Alabama or another SEC school unless you've lived through it. All right, Jay, so lay it on me then. What is it about SEC football that makes you guys some super secret society?
there's slogan that says it means more, and it does. I mean, it's a – you know, I hate to say religion, but it's one of those things that really connects people and also disconnects them. If you're an Alabama and Auburn fan, you got to make that decision right when you move to the state. I mean, that's probably the first question people are asked, not even where you're from, who are you for, is the first question. But it also makes it a lot of fun. And it, you know, it means so much to a lot of people that you want to go out there as a player, you want to represent the university well, you want to win, to give them the bragging rights, you want to win championships, which Alabama now at 18. And so the fans expect you to play your best and be your best, and not only on the field but off the field in the classroom. And it is. I mean, it's a different experience, and everybody that's been a part of it. I mean, even Lars, who grew up in Nebraska, Big Ten guy, and he has been to a lot of different games. He's like, man, I've never seen the passion for football or for sports that I've seen since I've lived in Birmingham and Alabama, and just seeing how people just, you know, it's just such a part of their lives. And and probably that's the best way I can describe it, is that it's a huge part of their lives, who they are, what they root for. And, you know, we don't have pro sports in Alabama. So college is what it is. Alabama's the top of the chain, and the fans treat it like that.
Now, I love Bill Clark. I've spent time with him on his campus back when they were building their new facilities. Where does UAB fit in this whole equation?
Man, I tell you, Bill Clark has done a terrific job.
Yes.
And, you know, for them, three straight years winning the conference champ, you know, being a part of that and winning it this year. And I tell you, he is, you know, my son Harrison, who plays quarterback for him and thinks the world of him, talks, you know, many times about the talks that they have. It's not just about football, but about life. And that's who Bill Clark is. And I'm proud for my son to be able to play there, to be a part of that program. And yeah, that new stadium they're building is just unbelievable. It'll be finished and ready to go coming up this season. There's a lot of fear that we might lose Bill Clark during the offseason because of his success, but he's seeing it through. And I'm proud for him doing that. And I know a lot of the players were worried about that and are happy that Bill Clark's going to be at UAB as their head coach, and hopefully they'll continue their success. But they fit in well. I mean, Birmingham has embraced them. I think going through the shutdown was a big big deal, and I think it brought a lot of people's attention to the program, as well as you know, people supporting it in a way maybe they didn't before.
How much longer does Nick Saban stay at Alabama? I've heard this debate now for a couple of years, but, I mean, he looks like he's getting younger to me.
He does. He's 69 years old. I mean, he looks like he's in his, you know, early 50s. He's got a ton of energy. If you watch him at practice, even after the hip surgery and all the things that he's, you know, been through, he's out there throwing the ball around. He's practicing and getting those DBs ready for the games. And he's fun to watch. And I think he's inspiring to a lot of people that, you know, I really think he'll be around for five more, maybe more years at Alabama. I mean, they were talking, he'll just be around 3 or 4 years. He left Miami, left LSU. He's going to leave Alabama. I'm like, no, this is a destination place. And really what drew, I really think when he solidly put roots in the ground was, you know, the tornadoes that came through and that really destroyed a lot of Tuscaloosa, a lot of the state of Alabama. And Coach Saban and Miss Terry, they went out into the community. They did a lot of work and donated a ton of money. And I think at that point in time, and with their kids, you know, Coach Saban's mom living in Birmingham, and now his kids in Birmingham, they're so connected to the university. And, you know, I always tell people, Alabama's fan base is the best. I think they have great support. They have great financial support. When you can take that and put it with a Nick Saban or a Coach Bryant, then you get the perfect storm and you win championships. And that's what's happened.
Well, and now number 7, which puts him even ahead of the great Bear Bryant. Jay Barker was there at Alabama in 92 when they won a national championship, also inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And the Jay Barker Show with Lars Anderson and company is available daily on the Jay Barker Radio Network. I mean, that's what happens when you're an Alabama quarterback, right? You get your own radio network named after you.
it happens. And, you know, it's one of those things that you know, you come out and you just don't want to get away from it, you know, and I mean, I have other businesses, other things that I do that I've been a part of for many years, but I always want to stay connected. And, you know, as you know, Amy, I mean, talking to the athletes and staying close to coaches and players, I think the hard thing now is I used to, you know, when I started out, I was my late 20s, early 30s and, you know, started out in radio. And now, you know, almost 20 years later, that all these guys are my age now. I mean, Dabo was my receiver at Alabama. Now he's the head coach making $9 million a year. I'm like, I got into the wrong business. But so proud of him and all that he's accomplished as well. But it's it's been a lot of fun. And I really, I always tell people I can never give back to Alabama what it's given me.
Mm. You can find Jay on Twitter at JayBarker7. It's great to catch up with you, especially after a whirlwind few days. Thank you so much.
Amy, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to be on. And much success. Continue.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.